Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I was on Highway 205, Interstate 205, 2 days ago, and as I crossed over the big bridge that has the Willamette River underneath it, I kind of glanced out over the water. I'm not just looking for boats, I'm looking for Brian Grant. I want to know if he's been on that river. Is this a good time to be on the river, Brian Grant?
Not today, John. Not today. It's a little cool out there today, but... We've had some wonderful weather around here.
What's a perfect day for you out on the water?
When I have my kids with me and they're having fun, and to top it off, if I could finally jump in the water because it's so cold. If I jump in, I feel like I was part of the team. But if I don't, everybody's going, "Why didn't you go out there?"
Yeah,
because the water's cold.
Yeah, that probably brings you back to childhood, being on the bank of the river, probably with Grandpa.
Yeah, fishing on the Ohio River and all the creeks that run into it. Definitely. It was warm water, too.
There's a lot going on in the world right now. People are at home and, you know, worried about loved ones and the economy. How's the Grant household? How are your kids? How are you coping with all this?
We're holding up. Of course, you know, everybody's starting to get a little cabin fever, wanting to get out, but you know, we have each other, and it's been pretty special. I mean, nothing like this has ever happened within our lifetime, I don't think. And you know, it makes me sad for my daughter who's graduating this year. She didn't get a prom and a graduation, but she's safe, and yeah, Other people are safe because we're not out in the public. And so I get that, and she does too.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. Kind of look at what, you know, not the silver lining, but you know what we're making the best of this, right? I mean, and that's something that I think a lot of people, the perspective that you get on something like this. How is your health? That was one of the first things that people asked me when I said Brian's coming on the show. How are you doing? You probably get asked that all the time, and I'm sorry if you get tired of it, but people care about you. How are you?
No, I'm fine. I progressed a little bit with my tremor, but I'm actually doing pretty good. I was diagnosed in 2008, but I had symptoms all the way from 2004. So to have it this long, I'm doing very well, very well.
The NBA channels are showing replays of games. You got the Michael Jordan documentary. First of all, what did you think of the Jordan documentary?
You know what? I missed it.
Was that intentional?
I missed it. No, it wasn't intentional. I missed it. I was out of my mind, and I didn't watch it. But I know we were on TV, I think yesterday or last night, and that was intentional. I didn't watch that one intentionally.
Give me an idea, because I had a Blazers fans that are tweeting at me saying, "This is so painful. Look how good this team was. They blew up the roster." And all right, so here's the question. Like, it's kind of like, would you have rather loved and lost or never loved? You guys were there playing at the height of your game. Yeah, okay, it ended in a way that, you know, nobody's satisfied with, but would you have rather never been there, or are you happy that you guys got there?
I'm happy that we got there. You know, it would have been great if we could have got over the hump and, started a dynasty here in Portland, but... You know, a lot of people don't make it to the Western Conference Final or Eastern Conference Finals, you know, in their career. So I can at least say we did that twice.
Michael Jordan, and, you know, I'd forgotten how good he was. And, you know, I watched the documentary. I'm like, man, I forgot what he looked like as a young man out there on the court. What was it like to be on the court in that era of basketball, which I think was the most competitive era of basketball in your career? And maybe, you know, when you talk about the great teams, those were great, deep teams at that time.
There were. There were a lot of them. You know, you had Barkley, you had Olajuwon, you had the Bulls. It was a lot of talent, a lot of seasoned talent, veteran talent on teams. And, you know, being a rookie in 94, going up against people, I think we went up against Jordan either my rookie year or my second year. We were in Chicago, and I think it was the year that they won 72 games. And we were actually beating them, you know, halfway through the game. And somebody messed up and talked crap to Michael. Somebody had a comment for him, and he went from having like 12 points to 44 points and crushed us. So he was that type of player. I mean, like when he goes through there and does all those little moves, that's like a wire or a board hitting you. When, if you catch one of those feet or his elbow or something like that, the man was just hard, and he could turn it on when he wanted. That was the most impressive thing. You know, you're out there trying to play, and I'm like, damn, I'm playing with Michael Jordan, too. You know, playing against Jordan. That's my most memorable thing, is being able to go against him when, you know, he was on top of his stuff.
Yeah, how special was, and I mean, think about how special that was in that era. And I keep bringing up to people, you know, when that debate comes up, Michael versus LeBron, and I bring up that, you know, Michael, the teams that Michael beat, the teams that he had to deal with, these were 50 plus win teams to win championships. Yeah. It wasn't like he was beating a bunch of bad teams in the Eastern Conference to get back to the finals and then, you know, take a crack at it. This was a gauntlet.
It was. And, you know, that's no disrespect, you know, to LeBron. Two different types of players, two different eras, you know, different opponents. The only one that I've ever compared to Jordan was Kobe. You know, Kobe had a work ethic that I couldn't believe. That 1 year I played in L.A., it was, I think the first day we lifted weights, I went over to a lap pool. And I put almost all the plates on it except for four and did 10. And, he looked at me and said, that's good. Let me get a few reps in. Puts all the weight on there and does 10 and gets up and walks away. I'm like, okay, you got me. You got me. Man, it was an honor playing with him and also against him.
Ryan Grant is our guest, former NBA player, 12 seasons in the NBA. You're doing something really cool with Here Together. You're trying to help secure services for people who are homeless. You're teaming up with Bill Walton on this thing. And why is this important to you? Why is Here Together important to Brian Grant?
Here Together is important to me because every time I go out that door, which hasn't been up lately, but before, and I go downtown or I'm driving on a freeway, I see tents set up. I see young people, you know, just wandering around. I see people who are asleep, homeless, and there's, you know, really nothing that you can do other than going to shelters and things like that to help out. But this is an opportunity for the community as a whole to come together and really, really do something about homelessness. And I don't say that because, you know, people don't want homeless people just laying around because they think it makes the city look bad. This is our community, man. You know, I've been a part of this community since 2008, and I was part of it for 3 years in the 90s. And that, you know, now's the time to come together. I mean, let's don't talk about it. Let's do something about it.
WeareHereTogether.org is the website if you want to get more information about the Here Together project and what you can do to get involved. You can donate, you can make a pledge there. Brian Grant and Bill Walton both on board with this. You know, it's funny because as I get older, Brian, I think I have far more perspective. Maybe I'm just getting smarter. But when I was younger, I didn't think much about the people who were homeless. I think about it all the time now. Has that changed for you too over years?
It has, because where I grew up, I never saw a homeless person. I was growing up in the country in a small town with a bunch of small towns around it. And if somebody was down and out, somebody took a person in, whether it was the church, a relative, a friend, or even a stranger. So I never was exposed to homelessness like that. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to do something beautiful, you know, especially on May 19th, you know, with Measure 26210, to vote for that measure, to really start getting some help to our homeless community.
Brian Grant, our guest, the Oregon State football season, I kept watching. I kept looking. Number three kept making plays, interceptions, big plays. Your kid, Jaden Grant, out there on the field. Everything he's been through, injuries, multiple head coaches. He's a fighter, man. You're proud of that kid.
Hey, I tell you what, you know, I've had injury after injury after injury. But this young man, you know, from the time he got in there, you know, tore one shoulder up, tore the other shoulder up. He's going to make a play out of bounds and runs into the wall, you know, awkwardly. Just a whole lot of stuff happening to him. But I told him, I said, you know what? Lots of things happen to me too. And they're kind of a blessing because you realize what you got to do to come back from them versus never having an injury. And all of a sudden you're in your senior or, you know, your senior year or something, and you don't really know how to deal with it. But I'm proud of him. I feel bad for him, and I feel bad for Oregon, all the universities and everything that's shut down. But it's for a good reason. You know, this COVID-19 is no joke. I saw Randy Brown that I played with in Sacramento. I was one of his rookies. His brother-in-law died from COVID. This is a real thing. It's not fake. And I think if we mess around with it, it's going to really show its face, bigger than it already has.
Totally agree with you. I think a lot about, you know, I've been spending more time at home with the kids. They're homeschooling. I'm doing this radio show from home. I'm probably not too far away from where you're sitting right now. But the ultimate thing is I think, you know, we're all trying to do the right thing, take care of the community. It might not be me, but I certainly want to do my part. I don't want to get somebody else sick, or I don't want to have an elderly person, you know, that I cross paths with get sick because of me. So I think you're right in saying that. I want to go back to Jaden, though, for a second, because there were a couple of plays last season at Oregon State on that football team. One, the Cal game. He has the interception to kind of seal the victory at the end. The other, the Washington game. He has the pick six in that game. What do you do what do you like watching your kid play versus maybe when you were out there on the court and you had some control over it?
I just get excited, man. I get excited. You know, early on, he wasn't playing very much, and that was tough on him, but he understood what he needed to do to earn some playing time, and he went out and did it. So I'm from cheek to cheek smiling as hard as you can see. You know, that's how proud I am of him. You know, he's turned out to be a really great young man, not just, you know, with the skills, but as a teammate. You know, I think they want to ask him to be a captain. So I'm just all out proud. And for what you said with your kids at home, you know, one of my oldest has asthma. So I'm real fearful of that, you know, because I know people with lung problems don't fare well with COVID. Sorry to get off this subject.
No, it's. I think it's important, and what's important to you, or what you're talking about with your kids, is important as well. You know, Kobe. When Kobe passed, I got to be honest. I have three girls. I know you have daughters. You have Malia and Anaya, if I remember. And
yes,
you as a girl dad, you know, all that stuff that Kobe did. You know, I didn't realize what a good dad he was, and in the end, I think that's awesome. That's the part of him that I end up thinking about a lot.
No, I tell you, you know, 2020 has been a tough year. You know, losing Kobe, it was just disbelief that day when, you know, all the news stations were going off about it. And like you, I just thought to myself, man, you know, me and my daughter, I'm trying to be there, be a great father and something like that. It's just, man, it's still hard to talk about. You know, it's still hard to talk about. We got losing people from COVID. My father actually lost him 3 weeks ago. It just seems like there's a lot going on, but Boogie, say what's up to John real quick. Jaden's on his way out to work out. I want him to say hi to you.
All right.
What's up, John? How you doing?
How you doing, Jaden? It's been fun to watch you grow, man. Keep doing what you do.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
It's 2020's been a tough year, John. It's been a tough year for not just the Grant family, for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, everybody. And when things, you know, we're getting all these curveballs thrown our way, now's the time to really come together as a community, you know, with love and giving to really help this community heal itself from COVID, homelessness, and any other thing that we're going through.
Brian, I think I speak for a lot of people. Obviously, people appreciated you as a player and the inspiration and passion you played with, but it's you talking about being a dad and you popping your kid onto the show and you caring about homeless people that I think ultimately, you know, it makes you the person that you are. So appreciate you coming on the show, but I love your heart, man, and you've always been there to help kids in the community and homeless people. And somebody did right by Brian Grant when he was growing up, because you've grown up to be a great dad and a great person.
A lot of people did right by Brian Grant when I was growing up. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all those people. Not at all. But hey, I want to say this. You were talking about we're getting old. We're getting old, John. you ain't got to remind them. We are getting old.
It's funny because I was looking at Jaden's Twitter feed, and he's got a picture of himself and his sisters with Kobe. And he tweeted that after Kobe passed. And then when you popped him on the phone, I'm talking to a man. That is a grown-up. So
yeah,
it's whiplash.
Crazy. Hey, John, I want to thank you for having me on your show, man. And I'm there anytime you need me, brother.
Well, I'll bring you back. Brian Grant, thank you, man. Thanks for making time.
All right. Okay, thanks. Bye.
There he is, Brian Grant. I love that interview. I know you did, too. Here's why I loved it, though. I like that he's just having a conversation. It's not Brian Grant trying to make you think he's somebody that he's not. He's just talking. He's a dad. He's a person. He cares about homeless people. He, of course, wanted to talk about Here Together, which is this effort to try to get $250 million in funding to our region for services for people who have experienced or are experiencing homelessness. But you can tell how much he cares about his kids. You can tell how much he cares about his fellow people. And Brian Grant has never struck me as somebody interested in being in the limelight or, you know, taking up more space than he's supposed to take in this world, or, you know, pushing an agenda that doesn't have his heart behind it. I know, like, I wasn't here, Blazer fan, when Brian Grant was in uniform and playing at a high level for the Blazers. But I understand, and I understood pretty quickly, dealing with him and talking with him after his retirement, when he would talk about things and, you know, I'd have conversations with him, I'd be like, oh, that's why people loved him wherever he was. It wasn't necessarily that Brian Grant was rebounding or making plays. It was rooted in the idea that Brian Grant was a real person. He's very relatable. He's real. He's authentic. He's relatable. You hear a dad there. Hey, Jaden, come here for a second. I'm on with John. I love that. I love that, you know, he's not concerned with the blocking and tackling and the format of the interview. He's just like, hey, by the way, say hi. Here's somebody who's taken an interest in your development as a player. And I have to be honest, I find myself when I'm watching Oregon State football drifting when they're on defense to find number three and go, all right, where is he? Okay, there he is. Because there is a kid who was not handed a scholarship and a golden ticket out of high school to go play Division I college football. He was handed an opportunity. Go work, be a preferred walk-on, get after it. And all Jaden Grant, Brian Grant's kid, has done is work his butt off, make plays, and find a way to matter on the field. And in the end, I'm like, damn, if, you know, you don't see that kid coming, and he's out there making plays. It was kind of like dad. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'll take your phone calls, 503-417-7575. Weigh in on what you just heard. I want to know what you heard. Love that interview with Brian Grant. If you missed it, grab the podcast. Adriana will podcast it in real time. Wherever you get a podcast, you can get the podcast of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. The individual interviews are there for you for just a case like this. You can re-listen to it. You can have your kids listen to it. You can send it to a friend. Dre in Portland's called in. Dre, you got a comment on the interview. Go ahead.
Jay, just as someone that got a chance to know Brian Grant and our daughters have become friends growing up, Brian Grant is just a good dude, man. Like, I love hearing him. I've had a chance to, you know, sit and talk with him at, like, you know, school functions and things like that. Like, just, you just feel it. He's a genuinely good dude. But just a quick story, man. He came to my house one time. He dropped off his daughter, and he knocked on the door, and he's like, "Hey, man, do you mind if I use your restroom real quick?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." My ceilings aren't that high. This dude walked in my house, and he looked like just a giant. Like, it was just the funniest thing. I'm like, this dude, like, man. So that's all I had to say, man. But just, I just want to let people out there know, like, you know, Brian Grant's a good dude, man. Like, it's a blessing to just know people like that.
It's interesting to me, Dre. I appreciate that. And what I was struck with by Grant is he came out to the BFT Foundation Celebrity Golf Tournament, and he kind of, you know, he's talked openly over the years about, you know, battling depression and, you know, his diagnosis, and he's talked openly about it, and he's come on the show and talked about it. And I thought it was really interesting because he thanked me at the golf tournament for inviting him to play. And I'm sitting there going, like, it's a blessing to have you play because you're helping us raise money for kids in the community. And he's thanking me. And he played in the golf tournament, and he said, you know, he was better than he thought he was. And then the next morning for me, it's like a Saturday morning, and I go to get coffee at the Starbucks. And I'm kind of decompressing because, you know, running that celebrity golf tournament is like putting on a wedding, like so many moving parts. And I'm sitting in the coffee shop, and Brian Grant pulls up, gets out of his truck, comes into the coffee shop and sees me, and he stops to talk for a second. And in the back of his vehicle, he's got his golf clubs. And he says, "I'm going back out today." I love that. I love that. Like he got the bug that day out at the reserve golf course, and he was going back out to play golf again. And there's a little kid in him, but he's an authentic person. And I understand why Blazer fans rooted for him with such passion and felt like they were in it with him for those years. And he's become part of the community. I want you to leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.